Because when you spoke about the seeds of Abraham, that was not only the Jewish people, but also those who were grafted in into the commonwealth of Israel. And Lord, as you show in your scripture that when the Hebrew people left Egypt, that there were Egyptians that forsook the gods of Egypt and they went with the children of Israel and they became grafted in to the children of Israel. And that the Jewish people, when they entered the land, they were to share the good news of the Torah, and God's plan for redemption of all people was to come from the Jewish people. As Paul declared in the scriptures, that all people are saved in and through the Jews, and one Jew in particular, who is Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. And the Jewish nation were to be a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles. So now, Father, as we celebrate the giving of both the Torah, the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and also on that chosen date in the future, 2,000 years ago, on the day of Shavuot, where the 120 were gathered together, they were not just gathered together having a prayer meeting. They were celebrating Shavuot, Pentecost. And this was a yearly celebration as a feast of the Lord, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And so, Father, we ask that you open up our eyes that we may be able to understand and see what your provision is for both the Jewish people and the Gentile people. Just as these two loaves on the table to my left or to your right, they symbolize both the Jews and the Gentiles becoming one people in Messiah. That is God's plan from the very beginning. That all the sons and daughters of Abraham in and by through faith would be grafted in. Those are the people of the nations. So we give all glory and honor and praise. And we ask you, Spirit, who is the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, to descend upon everyone who is here today and those who could not be here because of traveling or work or illness, or you've ordained them to do other things this day, that you would pour out your Ruach, your Spirit, afresh upon them again. Because we cannot do nothing without this leading and the guidance of the Spirit of the living God who leads us into all truth. That Torah may be fulfilled in Messiah, not in our own works, but in and through Messiah. All those Ten Commandments can and shall be filled in Messiah. To his name be all praise and glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. So today's message is entitled, For the Eve of Shavuot. His word was a shield to our ancestors. He is the source of all life. He is holy beyond. He is the holy God beyond compare. He gives us rest to all his people on this holy Sabbath day. Him we serve with awe and trembling. In him we affirm that day after day, to him the Lord Yeshua, our thanks are due. In remembrance of the work of creation, he hallows and blesses the Sabbath in the rest of our people, and finding joy with abundance. Our God, the God of our fathers, accept our rest and sanctify us through your commandments, and grant our portion in your Torah. Give us abundantly of your goodness and make us rejoice in Yeshua, our Lord, our God. Grant that your holy Sabbath be our joyous heritage. And may we, the Messianic community of all believers from every tribe, every tongue, from every nation, who sanctifies your name, rest thereon. Blessed are you, O Lord, who hallows the Sabbath. And you have given us in love, O Lord, our God, the Sabbath's rest. Holidays of gladness, festivals and seasons for rejoicing. You have granted us this Sabbath, the day of Shavuot, the season of giving of your Torah. O Lord, our God, bestow upon us the blessings of your festivals for life and peace, for joy and gladness, even as you graciously promise to bless us. Our God of our fathers, accept now our rest Sanctify us through your commandments and grant our portion in your Torah. Give us abundantly of your goodness and make us rejoice in Yeshua, our Lord. Purify our hearts to serve you in truth. In your loving favor, O Lord, our God, let us inherit with joy the gladness of your holy Sabbath and the festivals, and may Israel and the Messianic community, whole and complete, who sanctifies your name, rejoice only in you. Blessed are you, O Lord, who hallows the Sabbath, Israel, the Messianic community, and all seasons. Endless are your revelations, O Eternal One, to every age, to all peoples, for your revelations to the Messianic community, the Adah Hashem, those of our first days and those of these last days, for the discoveries we make concerning your salvation and grace, we give unto you all thanks. Deliver your people now, Israel, from the darkness of arrogance and the pride that they may see and know Messiah Yeshua. With unclouded vision, remove the veil from their eyes. Help them to discover and accept Messiah Yeshua into their lives. Teach us your Torah, but Yeshua, enable us to hallow our lives with your mitzvot, your teachings, your instructions. O source of truth and instruction, you are blessed forever. Amen. O Lord Yeshua, your light shines continually upon the path of all who sincerely seek to know you, to do your will. Help us always to search for you, always to listen to your voice, and to be led by the indwelling power of your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. For we desire that you have given us to seek after your righteousness, and for the measure of truth that we have found, we praise your holy name. For this commandment which I have commanded you this day is not too difficult nor remote, says the Lord. No, the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, a Brit Hadashah, with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and I will put my Torah within them and engrave it upon their hearts. Then it shall come to pass that I will pour out my Ruach, my Spirit, upon all flesh. And when was that first accomplished? But in the book of Acts. Turn now with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. What has taken place? Passover has already been taken place. Messiah has died. He has been raised from the dead. The 11 apostles fled from his presence when he was arrested. The betrayer, the son of perdition, turned him over, and he betrayed his rabbi with a kiss. So now Yeshua has been raised from the dead, and he told them when he visited them in Galilee to go back to Jerusalem and to wait until the power and the anointing of the Spirit came upon them. And so it was on that day of Shavuot, Pentecost, where they were celebrating the giving of the Torah, the 120, both men and women, 120, both men and women of the Jewish people were assembled in that upper room, and they were spending time in prayer and waiting in obedience to receive what was promised, the fulfillment of Joel, of the power and the anointing of the Spirit that would descend upon them. After receiving that, then they were to go forth and proclaim the good news. Now, if we'd stop and think about this for a moment. When Yeshua, before he began his ministry, he was brought out to the wilderness, and Hasatan, Satan, was there to tempt him, to dissuade him to go a different way. But after fasting for 40 days and nights, he spoke the word, and he gained victory over Hasatan. The scripture says, then the angels came and they ministered to him. And then he went where? But he went to his cousin, Yohanan, John the Immerser, John the Baptizer. And he was calling the nation of Israel, John the Baptizer was, to repentance. Yeshua did not go and start his ministry until he went to see his brother, his cousin, John. And he came to him. And what did John proclaim? He said these words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Think of all the people that were assembled there. There were Pharisees, there were scribes, and they were looking to the one that John was pointing to, for they knew that he was a prophet of God. And when they came together, John said, "I need to receive a mikvah or a baptism, an immersion from you." But Yeshua said, "No, I am to receive it from you." And being obedient, he knelt, though there was no sin in him. He knelt and he did as our example. He went underneath the waters of mikvah, the waters of immersion. And what does the scripture record say that when he came out of those waters? But the Spirit of the living God descended upon him. And it appeared to those who could see as a dove. And then he went out and he fulfilled his ministry. So this is what Yeshua is now asking these 120 disciples to do, is to wait until they receive the anointing of the Spirit of the living God. So let us begin in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The festival of Shavuot, or Pentecost in some of your translation, arrived. And the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from the sky like a roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And when they saw what looked like tongues of fire, think of fire that comes from God. What is the fire that comes from God upon believers? Is it there to bring destruction? No. It is to purify them, to burn off the dross, the sin in their lives, to prepare them, to anoint them. Think back to the time when Moses stood in the wilderness and he saw that burning bush. That burning bush was not consumed by the fire, and that got Moses' attention. And he came before the Lord, and he received his anointing from the Lord. And there were signs and wonders that the Lord showed him to do, of placing his hand into his cloak, taking it out, and it appeared as leprosy. And then he put it back inside and pulled it out and was clean. Another one of the signs that he received was to take the stick that he was walking with and throw it on the ground. And what did it do? It became as a serpent. He said, "Now reach out and grab it by its tail." And it came back into his staff. But now going now quickly back to the scripture here. So we see the fire is part of the anointing, of burning off the dross here. So they saw, verse 3, they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated, and it came upon rest on each and every one of them. Think about this. There were both men and women who were assembled there. The Spirit of the living God's anointing of fire of tongues descended on both men and women alike as equals in Messiah. Continuing here. And they were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Notice this. Who is doing this? But Abba, Father God. Yeshua declared this to his disciples. He said, "I'm about to leave you, but do not be afraid. I'm going to ascend to the Father, but when I ascend to the Father, I will be sending to you my what? My Spirit, who shall lead you into what? All truth." So this is what they're receiving at this time. Okay? Verse 5, and they were staying in Jerusalem, religious Jews from every nation under heaven. And why were they staying there? Because they were coming back. Why? Because this was the second of the Moeds, the assembled times where every male Israeli man, though he lived in far nations around the world, wherever they were to come at this time to be in Jerusalem to celebrate the giving of the Torah from Mount Sinai, which is Shavuot, Pentecost. That's why they were all gathered here together. Okay, verse 6. And when they heard this sound, okay, it wasn't just the people that were in this room. Everyone around about them in Jerusalem heard this sound. Okay, a great crowd gathered, and they were confused because each one of them heard believers speaking in his own language. Now, for some of us reading that for the very first time, we may be saying, wait a second, Aren't these all Jews that are gathered during Shavuot? Absolutely. But they're living in foreign lands. Many of them had been born in their foreign lands. And, you know, Greek or other, any of these other languages, that was their first language that they learned, all right, along with Hebrew, okay? And so they were hearing these words being spoken in perfect dialect. Has anyone ever learned French? Well, in America, you speak with an American accent or dialect. But if you go to France, you receive their dialect. You receive their way of speaking, all right? Is then pure French or pure German. Or in Israel, the Israelis have a different way of speaking Hebrew, all right? And when they come here to America, they're always correcting us, okay? Because we say it from American dialect, all right? Or perspective or accent, okay? And that's what was blowing their minds, because they knew that these people, although they were speaking in these dialects, all right, there were still the accents of Galilee, all right? It's just like if you heard from somebody from southern United States, okay, or Boston, or New York, or California, okay? Everyone has a different accent, okay? So let us continue here. And so they heard each of these believers speaking in his own language. Totally amazed, they asked, how is this possible? Aren't these people from Galilee? See that? We have to focus on this. So what they're seeing here is they're hearing the power and mercy, the good news, in their own languages from where they came and where they were born, though they be all Jews. Continuing here. And when they heard this sound... Okay, I'm on verse 8. How is it that we hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Yehuda, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, okay? Jews by birth and proselytes. What's a proselyte? Someone who converts to Judaism. Okay, continuing here. Jews from Crete and Arabia. How is it that we hear them speaking in our own language about the great things that God has done? All right? They're not telling them, giving them tour guide information about Jerusalem. They're speaking about the power and mercy of God and what Yeshua has done. Okay? You know what? The Bible doesn't give us all those details, but they're there, hidden in plain sight for us to receive and discover. So verse 12 says, amazed and confused, they went on asking each other, what can this mean? Why is this happening? Had this happened before? Never. In all recorded scripture, through the Tanakh, this had never taken place before. Verse 13, but others made fun of them and said, they've just had too much wine. Isn't that the way of man's thinking? We try to rationalize things, right? We never think to, well, maybe God is doing something brand new. How many times did God part the Red Sea? Once. Has he done it since then? No. Will he do it in the future? It's up to him. All right? So let us continue now. Verse 14, but Kepha, Peter, stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice to address them. Now, just stop for a second. Here's the guy that denied Yeshua, even knowing him, three times before the rooster even crowed. So there's been a time of reconciliation here between Yeshua, because Yeshua, when he saw him, when he prepared the fish, when they were out fishing on the Sea of Galilee that night before, and they saw in the distance there was someone that had a small campfire. As they got there closer in the ship, they drew closer and they saw what? But they saw this man and he was what? He was roasting fish over an open fire. And he called them to come over and they recognized him. And what did Yeshua say to him? He said, Peter, Kepha, do you love me? He says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And there was reconciliation. So here was a man who was fearful, and he said, I will die with Messiah. I will die with you. But when it came down, the rubber met the road, he denied him three times. And so now, after him being filled with the rock, the anointing, the same anointing that Isaiah had, Father Abraham had, and all the prophets, the very anointing that Yeshua received, the same Ruach, the same Spirit. Was not King David's plea before the Lord was this? Though he was found in sin, he asked the Lord this one thing. He did not say, do not take away my kingdom. Do not take away my riches. Do not take away my land. But he said this, please do not take your Ruach, your Holy Spirit from me. So let's continue here. Now Kepha, Peter is now anointed with the Spirit, and he stood up in boldness with the 11 and raised his voice to address them. You Judeans and all of you who are staying here in Jerusalem, let me tell you what this means. Listen carefully to me. That statement was a thing that Yeshua repeatedly had to say to Kepha. Because you know what happened? Yeshua would say something to him, and then his mind would just run. And he would run and do all these things, all right? Yeshua just had to say one thing, and all of a sudden, boom, the guy takes off. He's ready to accomplish the will of the Lord by just running. And Yeshua would have to say to him from time to time, listen to me. You don't got all the provision here, Peter. Here now is an instruction. So Peter now, this is a transformation in his life. What is his very first words to the people? Listen to me. So continuing here. Listen carefully to me, verse 15. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken about through the prophet Joel. Adonai says in the last days, I will pour out from my spirit upon everyone. Your sons and your daughters will what? They will prophesy. Your young men will what? They shall see visions. Your old men shall do what? They shall dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will perform miracles in the sky above and signs on the earth below. Blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon blood. What is he saying here? He's saying the very words that Yeshua said, that there will be many that come in my name claiming that they are the Messiah in the latter days. And he says these words to the disciples. He says, but one day the sun will become black and it'll lose its light. Has that happened? No. Has the moon turned red blood? Yes, it has, but has it stayed that way? Have the stars fallen from the sky? No, they have not yet. So what he's doing is he's giving them a prophetic last days, because you know what? According to them, they believe that they were living in the last days, as every generation is to believe. And look for what? For the signs of Adonai, to wait for his return. All believers, Messiah, it shows where your relationship is with the Lord is if you search the scriptures and watch the signs of the times and be obedient to fulfill the Great Commission. So let us continue here very, very quickly. Verse 20, the sun will become dark and the moon will become blood before the great and fearful day of Adonai comes. And then whoever calls upon the name of Adonai will be saved. There's a false theology that's being taught right now that Jewish people can ride the coattails of Father Abraham, and in and through him they gain salvation. There is one way that God has established that every man, woman, and child, no matter what nation you're from, to come to know Messiah, and it is through Yeshua and being saved by him and becoming born again. So, Kepha was quoting here Joel verses 3, 1 through 5 in one translation. In other translations, it is chapter 2, 28 through 32. Verse 22, the men of Israel, listen to this. Peter goes on to say, Yeshua from Nazareth was a man who demonstrated to you to have been from God by the powerful works and miracles and signs that God performed through him. Notice that. It was performed through him. Yeshua never took credit for the miracles. He told people to be silent. He told people do not focus on these things, but focus on the Father and honoring the Torah. Continuing here. That God performed through him, who is Yeshua, in your presence. You yourselves know this. So you know what's happening there? There are people who are from all these other lands that were not in the land when Yeshua was performing all these things. You know what's going on right now? There are now people that are standing and say, you know what? What he's just said, yeah, we saw that lame person rise up. We saw that leprous person be healed. We saw Lazarus after he was raised from the dead. It's undeniable facts here. So continuing here. And so what is he quoting here? But Psalm 16, 8 through 11. That's what he just quoted in this portion here that I'm about to get to. Verse 23, this man was arrested, Yeshua, in accordance with what God had his predetermined plan. This was the will of the Father. And the foreknowledge and through the agency of persons not bound by Torah, the Romans were involved. You nailed him on a stake and you killed him. Verse 24, but God has raised him up and freed him from the suffering of death. It was impossible that death could keep its hold on him. For David says this about him, and I quoted that earlier, Psalm 16, 8 through 11. These are David's words, King David. I saw Adonai always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. For this reason my heart is glad and my tongue rejoiced, and now my body too will live on in certain hope, that you will not abandon me to Sheol, or let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You fill me with joy of your presence. Now, King David proclaimed that, but you know what? Today we could go to Israel and see King David's tomb. His body did see decay. So who was he speaking of? But Yeshua, his heir, the one who would sit eternally upon his throne. Because Abba, Father, God promised this to David, that he would not allow not a one descendant to be able to sit on his throne in the future. And will that be fulfilled? During the millennial kingdom. Continuing here, verse 29. Brothers, I know that I can say to you frankly that the patriarch David had died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. Therefore, since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that one of his descendants would sit upon his throne, he was speaking in advance about the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. And that is he who was not abandoned in Sheol and whose flesh did not see decay. God raised up this Yeshua and we are all his witnesses of it. And so right now there are people that are now talking to each other and say, yeah, that's right. He said that if you tear down this temple in 3 days that he would rise it up again. He wasn't speaking about the literal temple on the Temple Mount, but he was speaking of his own body. So all these scripture references are coming. And now people are talking with one another. And they're communicating with one another and saying, yeah, I heard about that. And they're giving confirmation to what Kepha is saying here. Verse 32. God raised up this Yeshua and we're all witnesses to it. Moreover, he has exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father what he promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh. The Spirit of the living God has been poured out, and this gift of which are both you are now seeing and hearing. You're experiencing this by other fellow Jews, these 120 who are standing before you. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says, verse 35, Adonai, the Lord, said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make enemies, your enemies, a footstool for your feet. Where is he quoting from? But Psalm 110:1. There. And who's going to make the enemies of Yeshua his footstool? But Abba, Father God himself. Have you ever been as a child and there were kids that were picking on you? You didn't have an older brother and sister defend you? What would you turn and say to that kid as a last threat to the bully? I'm going to tell my dad on you, right? Well, Abba, Father God's going to rise up, and he is righteously going to make all Yeshua's enemies his footstool. So continuing here, verse 36. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know beyond any doubt that God has made him Yeshua, Lord and Messiah, this Yeshua whom you executed on the stake or the cross. On hearing this, they were stung in their hearts. Why were they stung? Because the Spirit of living God did not bring condemnation upon them, but conviction. What is the good news supposed to do, go and produce? Conviction of heart. And when the receiver, the hearer of God's word, because we are all called to do what? Proclaim the good news to everyone that we come across and allow the Spirit of the living God to bring about conviction, which produces repentance, which would then brings a sadness and brokenness, that which then brings reconciliation unto God. So continuing here. On hearing this, they were stung in their hearts. And they said to Kepha, Peter, and the other emissaries, brothers, what should we do? Because they recognize this. Our sins had made it so that the Messiah was crucified on our behalf. But they understood this. It was the predetermined plan of Abba, Father God. And so all those Tanakh scriptures were now being filtering through their minds. And the Holy Spirit of the living God, the Ruach HaKodesh, was bringing them full knowledge and understanding to this. The veil had been removed from their eyes. And all the uncloudiness was removed. And they saw Yeshua for who he was and proclaimed himself to be. So continuing here. Kepha answered them, turn from sin and return to God. Teshuvah. Repentance. And each of you be immersed in the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. The same gift that all the 120 have received here. Now we go very quickly over what he just said, that he said, be immersed in what? But Yeshua's authority. That was Yohanan calling the nation to do what? Into repentance, a mikvah. They were to go under a mikvah for the cleansing of their sins. And they were to do what? To receive it under what authority? Their new eternal high priest, who is Yeshua HaMashiach, from the order of Melchizedek, not Aaron. Because Yeshua was from what tribe? The tribe of Judah, and not from the tribe of Levi. So here's a brand new transformation. This is the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant. There is one eternal high priest who is Yeshua. It's no longer Aaron here. There's provision. So let's now move quickly. Verse 39, for the promise is for you and for your children and for those far off, as many as Adonai our God may call. Who called you? It was the Father. He made the provision. Each and every one of us can testify. It was the Father drawing us unto himself. And how did we come to know his salvation, his Yeshua? By revelation. By others proclaiming the good news to us in various ways. Continuing here. Verse 40. He pressed his case with many other arguments. You know what? In Scripture, it doesn't record all those arguments. Because they were coming up to him and saying all these things. Like, well, when the Messiah comes, he will kick out the Romans. And he will set up David's throne again. Yeshua never did that. See, all these arguments were being brought up to them. But the scripture doesn't record all those arguments. Many times when we read the scripture, we just jump over, do we not? So here it says, he pressed his case with many arguments. And you know who was filling his mouth, his mind on what to share to give them a just and righteous answer? But the Spirit of the living God. Peter was not going by his own intellect or his education. He was going by the literal word of God. Because later in scripture we read this, they will bring you before what? Judges and rulers of nations. Do not fear what you're about to say, because on that moment the Spirit of the living God will fill your mouth on what you're to share. Continuing here. He pressed his case with many arguments and kept pleading with them. Save yourself from this perverse generation. He's saying to them, yes, God has ordained the temple sacrifices, but here is now the new covenant that Jeremiah 31:31 speaks of. Will you receive and walk in that light? Continuing here, verse 41. So those who accepted what he had said were then immersed under the authority. That's the mikvah. And there were added to that group that day 3,000 people. Who draws people unto himself but God? Who builds congregations? Abba, Father God. What does the scripture say? If we lift up Yeshua, he shall draw all people unto whom? Some personality? Some mega congregation? Some mega synagogue? Unto himself. Who are we to lift up? But Yeshua. Him and him only. So continuing here, verse 41. So those who accepted what he had said were immersed in the mikvah. And there were added to the group that day 3,000 people. They continually stood faithfully in the teaching of the emissaries, the apostles. New instruction, new brit hadashah, new way how to fulfill God's calling upon your life. But the temple's still there. And the daily sacrifices, morning and noon, are going on. Yes, but that's going to come to an end in the future. Read the book of Hebrews. It gives you more clarification on these things that I'm sharing with you today. That's why it's important. Because in the future, there shall be what? A third temple. And the morning and the evening sacrifice will start over again. The Levitical priesthood will rise again, and they will do all these things. Is that not what prophecy says? Because how is the abomination of desolation when Hasatan comes, and the false beast and false prophet, how is that to be fulfilled if there's not a third temple? So let's now get back to the scripture here. That's just insights for you to study and meditate so the Spirit of the living God can reveal his truth to you. Verse 32, they continued faithfully in the teaching of the apostles, in fellowship and breaking of bread, and in prayers. Everyone was filled with awe, and many miracles and signs took place through the apostles. This was done in and through them, but they did not receive the glory and honor, but Abba, Father God did, just as Yeshua. They said, do not focus on the miracles, the signs and wonders, but focus on the kingdom. Continuing here, verse 44, all those trusting in Yeshua stayed together and had everything in common. In fact, they sold their property and their possessions and distributed the proceeds to all who were in need. Continually faithfully with singleness and purpose to meet in the temple courts. So where was their very first congregation? But the courts of the temple. The areas were prayer. And there were they were a light to their brothers and sisters in the Jewish faith to come and walk in the Brit Hadashah. They did not do this in hiding, but they went there. And Kepha would arise, and John and Paul and all the others would arise and speak from time to time. Yaakov, whose name is James, Yeshua's older brother, would teach in these temple courts, just as Yeshua did. Continuing here. All those trusting in Yeshua stayed together and had everything in common. In fact, they sold their property and possessions, distributed the proceeds to all who were in need, continually faithfully with singleness and purpose to meet in the temple courts daily and breaking bread in several homes. They shared their food with joy and simplicity of heart, praising God and having the respect of all the people. And day after day, the Lord kept adding to them all those who were being saved. So any congregations are looking for a way to make their congregation grow, focus your eyes on the Father. Do as Yeshua said. He says, I only do the things that I see the Father doing. He adds and he subtracts. It's to his honor and glory. It's his kingdom. And it's all about Yeshua and his salvation. And we're to be filled with what? The Spirit of the living God. Otherwise, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Everything you do and try shall fail if you're not doing it underneath the anointing and the instruction and the leading of the Spirit of the living God. That is God's good housekeeping seal of approval. It is the Spirit of the living God and nothing else. To God be all praise and glory and honor.